and welcome to our time together for worship. It's great that you can join with us for this parish group joint worship and for our little blether to start with. My name's Ewan Glennon, Minister of Clooney Money Muskers. Hopefully the folk that watch this know by now, but I thought I'd introduce myself anyway. We're going to go around the doors and see what's happening in the various churches, and then I'll ask Fiona, because Fiona's going to lead us, to give us a wee preview of what she's going to be preaching about. That's in the hope that when we're recording this, she's actually thought it through. I'm sure she has. So we'll start with Neil. What's happening in Kintore, Neil?
What's happening in Kintore? The sun is shining in Kintore this week. Well, I don't know about by the time you guys get to watch this, but it has been a lovely seeing the things open up in terms of people just being able to be around outside and so forth. It's really super. At Kintore, worship continues as normal with this service online and also with our services in person. And so I'll just say something about that to remind you that if you would like to participate in our in-person worship, we have a limit of the number of people that can get in because of the distancing and so on. And we also need your records if you are coming to join us in person. So please would you phone our church secretary, Jane McIntosh, and she'll make sure that you have a seat. But you're also welcome to join us on these services, of course, or on Zoom at our 10 o'clock in service in the morning. That's Kintore.
Thank you. And Sheila, what's going on in Echt and Midmark?
Well, we're on a bit of a technology drive, and that's the dog shaking in the background. I don't know if you heard that there passing under my feet here. We're in a technology drive. So for the first time last week, we managed to record service in the church building at Echt and put it up onto the YouTube channel. So that was great. We're not quite at the live streaming end of things yet. I think we need a few more technology lessons in that kind of area, but we're getting there. And it's great actually to be able to talk to everybody in church and also to be able to talk to other folk who are joining us online as well as this joint worship. It's nice that people can access both. So we're looking forward to developing that very much. And we're looking forward as well to the hub meeting, the area grouping meeting that we have next week with representatives of our different congregations to talk more about where it is that we go together and where next for the relationships that we're building. And actually, I think people are quite excited about that. And the members of the Kirk session are looking forward with a degree of expectation. So yeah, I think there's good things ahead, exciting times ahead. And we're looking forward to opening things up again as well as lockdown eases.
Amen to all of that. And Joshua, what's happening in Kemney?
Well, I'm bodily back to work, mentally still on holiday, so you'll forgive me for that. But it's nice to be back with you all, and a huge thanks to you, Fiona, for covering for me while I was away as well. Much appreciated. We are continuing with our new modified structure of worship. We've been alternating Sundays. Every other Sunday, we broadcast this service at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then the other Sundays, we broadcast this service at 7 p.m. And then we do a 10 a.m. live worship in the Kirk with limited seating due to COVID-19 restrictions. So we're continuing that pattern for the next few weeks and always ready and willing to modify it as needed to comply with government guidance. And hopefully the continued loosening of restrictions will continue. But we're pleased to continue in worship in whatever form. And like yourselves, looking forward to greater return to normality in the next few weeks, hopefully. And also looking forward to next week's discussion on the 29th about the ongoing discernment with this presbytery grouping.
Thank you for that. And Fiona, let's tease us a wee bit about what we're going to look forward to in a few minutes to hear your sermon.
Well, today the passage we're looking at is from Acts, where Christ is described as the cornerstone. So we're going to have a little think about that, but we're also going to think about this other part of that passage, which talks about people's worth and people's value and how what you see isn't always what you expect, and just how hidden qualities and things like that, and don't judge a book by its cover and all those good analogies. So that's what we're looking at today.
I'm sure we'll all be looking forward to finding out what all that means. It's at Clary Money Musk, we have our final Bible study for this session coming up on Thursday evening. I know it's the same night as the meeting, but it's not a live Bible study. It's a recorded Bible study, so people can look at it at any time. So that's this Thursday. We also have our mainly music group we started going outdoors, which started last Tuesday and will be continuing, weather permitting. The members of the group will get an email on the day to say whether they're able to meet. If it's absolutely pouring with rain, I suspect not. But really, a wee bit of drizzle doesn't seem to disturb the kids nor the parents and carers who are gathering. So it's good that that started again. We're changing the format. We heard from Sheila about the recording of the services. I've been recording services alternate weeks from Clooney or Money Musk and then posting it in the afternoon. However, I'm now going to be recording a service sitting here and posting that online. The same service will be as in the church, but just so that it's not Sunday afternoon. I find myself a wee bit grumpy on Sunday afternoons conducting two services, trying to work out the technology as well. So I'm going to do it before I worship on Sundays. So that's all that's happening just now. So whatever we're up to, it's great that we can think about things together and enjoy this time in this journey moving forward. So I do hope that you all enjoy our worship this day.
Good morning, everybody. Hear now this call to worship from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord for all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For the Lord will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. The Lord will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon the rock. Thanks be to God. Let us now worship God together.
Thank you.
Our reading today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, from chapter 4, reading verses 5 to 12. Acts chapter 4, from verse 5 to verse 12. The next day, the Jewish leaders, the elders, and the teachers of the law gathered in Jerusalem. They met with the high priest, Annas, and with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others who belonged to the high priest's family. They made the apostles stand before them and asked them, "How did you do this? What power do you have? Or whose name did you use?" Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today about the good deed done to the lame man and how he was healed, then you should all know, and all the people of Israel should know, that this man stands here before you completely well through the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. Jesus is the one of whom the scriptures says, 'The stone that you, the builders, despised turned out to be the most important of all.' Salvation is to be found through him alone. In all the world, there is no one else whom God has given who can save us."
Good morning. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. It's lovely to be speaking to you again this morning. Now, I don't know about you, but I quite like going to the cinema. And as a small child, one of the first films which I went to see was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I think I was about 7. And most of it, I think I spent hugging my mum because my parents hadn't realised quite how scary it was. And it has to be said that the volcano scene still sends shivers up my spine. However, it did give me a taste for adventure films and for Indiana Jones ones in particular at that time. And when The Last Crusade came out about 5 years later, I went to see that as well. Now, I don't know if you've seen it, but you will, if you have, you'll know that the crux of the movie is when they find a selection of goblets, which could all be the Holy Grail. Drinking from the real one promises fantastic gifts, whilst drinking from the false ones ensures instant and horrific death. As predicted, the villains drink from the gold-encrusted one because they think that would be the most appropriate for a king, whilst Indy goes for the simple carved one from wood. With the thought that a carpenter would have a wooden cup in first century Palestine rather than anything more elaborate. Well, of course, Indiana Jones is correct, and it is the unassuming one which holds all the power. We find this story repeated throughout literature and films, whether it's Reepy Cheep the Mouse in C.S. Lewis's Narnia series, who holds the most courage in spite of being the smallest of animals. Or maybe Harry, Ron and Hermione in the Harry Potter stories start off as the underdogs and become the heroes in the end. We do love it when we see unlikely people emerge as more than they seem at first glance. And this is probably because no matter how others may view us, most of us feel, at some point in our lives anyway, that we maybe don't measure up compared to others. We're not as tall, we're not as beautiful, we're not as talented, and we aren't as confident. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate unlikely hero. A young man, born in slightly questionable circumstances in a stable. He lives in a backwater town, earning his living as a carpenter. Not the first person you'd expect to be the incarnation of the living God. So why would God choose to put himself into such a vulnerable position? Surely he could have achieved his ends much more successfully if he'd been born to a family of wealth, power, and influence? Well, to answer this, we need to have a think about what it was that Jesus stood for and what he was doing when he was on earth. Had he been in a position of worldly power, would the poor and the disenfranchised, those on the outskirts of society, ever have approached him? The answer is they probably wouldn't have. So in order to fulfil his mission, Jesus had to be from humble beginnings. He had to be one of the overlooked. He had to be the embodiment of the verse which we read this morning and be the stone which the builders had rejected. His true value had to be hidden, so that there was no question that the source of his power came from God and not from man. Whether we like it or not, we do all have a bit of a tendency to judge one another. Some people will say, I'm a good judge of character. But are they? Are they really? Can you really tell what a person is by looking at them? It is easy to overestimate the ones who talk in group situations. Or maybe the tall person who is easily identifiable. And the good-looking one might be memorable. What about the quiet one? The one who sits and observes from the corner? They might be a little easier to overlook, not to notice, and maybe to undervalue a bit. But when we stop and really look beneath the facade, take time to get to know them, we may well find a quick wit and deep and thoughtful opinions. Two characters come to mind to illustrate this point. The first is Dorian Gray, a fictional character created by Oscar Wilde in his novel The Picture of Dorian Gray. It is about an incredibly handsome young man who has his portrait painted. But whilst he remains unchanged, his portrait starts to reflect every cruel, unkind, dishonest, and hurtful thing which he does until it is disfigured beyond recognition. Now he can't destroy it, for it holds his soul, but he does hide it away so that no one can see it and know what he's really like. No one believes that he can be a horrible person because he looks like an angel, but he has a vile and twisted soul. Now, many of us could identify with this idea that what we present to the world does not fully reflect what is happening underneath. This may be for good or it may be for ill. But others never truly know us. They only see what we choose to show them. I find this particularly obvious in teenagers, as they shed the naivety of childhood and adopt a brittle shell which protects them from the outside world, but also hides their sense of confusion and fragility behind an abrupt and sometimes quite rude exterior, maybe quite opposite of how they're feeling on the inside. What they want is to be seen. They want to be understood. But they're often judged on their behaviours alone, without scraping underneath the surface. And this can result in a hardening of the outer shell, until it becomes who they actually are. When we are in relationship with God, then we can be truly known. There is someone who doesn't judge us on what the world sees, but on the real us beneath the veneer. Now, if you're like Dorian Gray, that might not be a very comfortable place to be. But for the majority of us, even although there are parts of us which we'd prefer to keep hidden, the knowledge that our motivations and our sympathies are truly understood can be incredibly comforting and reassuring. The other person I think of is Peter, the disciple of Jesus. He was a fisherman. And I've always imagined him as a great big gruff character, full of bombast and humour, speaking before thinking, saying exactly what he thought, and frequently missing the mark as a result. He was honest and loyal, and when he let Jesus down, he was filled with self-doubt and guilt. a real, true, larger-than-life character who you couldn't help but like. But you wouldn't necessarily take him too seriously. But this man, he's the one who in this passage is standing in front of the well-educated Jews, declares his faith in the risen Christ. He's challenging the high priest, the elders, the teachers of the law, and he does it with authority and he does it with confidence. What they see before them is a big, barely uneducated fisherman. What he presents is the wisdom of the ages through the power of the Holy Spirit, quoting the scriptures to them. So often we do see what we want to see, and yet we complain when others don't see things from our perspective. Jesus was undervalued, he was misjudged. The people with knowledge of the ancient scriptures couldn't see what was under their noses. They were too immersed in the theory to listen to the Spirit. Peter, for all his faults, was open to the Holy Spirit working within him. Of course, he had also received instruction from Jesus, and as a Jew would have learnt at least parts of the Torah as a child and over the years. He wasn't totally oblivious to the work of God. There is space for knowledge and learning, but only when it enhances and grows faith. Can't take the place of the faith. Jesus chose unlikely people to be his disciples. It wasn't what they knew. It wasn't what their position in society was. It was where their hearts were that mattered to him. He saw beneath the rough fisherman. He could see the potential in a tax collector. And maybe he soothed the soul of a fiery zealot. Just as Jesus Christ himself could be described as the stone which had been rejected by the builders, because the potential could not be seen, and yet he became the foundation stone which would support the entirety of creation. So Christ calls people from the fringes. He calls the people from the margins. He calls the people who lack self-confidence and self-worth, because they can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they can know that their confidence is only found in God. The takeaway which I'd like to give you for today is that Christ comes to us all to fill us with his Holy Spirit, so we can proclaim loudly along with Peter that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And if he comes to us and calls us, then it stands to reason he calls others also. And if Christ can call the unlikely, then we have no place to consider anyone unworthy, no matter the external appearances. Amen.
I'm Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the signs of resurrection in our lives. Thank you for every indication of hope, every glimmer of encouragement. Thank you for the resilience that comes through faith, and for the freedom and confidence that comes from knowing that we can never find ourselves out with the reach of your love and concern. We make our prayer for your world, for this is one world, and we are one with your people everywhere. So we pray for wherever our environment is abused, or where resources are treated as infinite, for wherever responsibility is abdicated, or where profit and immediacy are the overriding factors. We pray for a world which doesn't always value the people on the periphery of things, which promotes standards and ideologies that don't always speak to the common good, and where prophetic voices sometimes struggle to be heard. We pray for this world, wherever polarization of views seem to dominate unhelpfully, where voices are drowned out by fashion, or where value lies in fame instead of integrity. God of all things and of all people, we are your people, your voice in this place, in this time, and in this world. May we be the agents of change we seek, catalysts for good, the embodiment of hope and light that's so much needed. Strengthened by our faith and by God's Spirit, may we celebrate and embrace one another as fellow human beings. May we find beauty in diversity, integrity in honesty and truthfulness. And may we be blessed with a sense of wholeness and peace in our lives as people of God. And we further pray together in the words of the prayer which Jesus taught to his followers, saying,
Our Father, who is in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for worshipping with us today. And as we leave this time of worship, let us take time to empty ourselves of the worldly treasures that we hold, that we may have the space to hear the call of Christ on our lives, to be filled and to be empowered by his Holy Spirit. And may we all receive the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.